Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Trump, and you're listening to John Whitmer on KNSS.
Championing the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, and a belated happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there, and happy, I guess, Black Friday, if you're into that thing. I stayed home, didn't want to get anywhere near the stores on Black Friday, but hope you had a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and we're ready to kick off December. Looking forward to it, but thank you for joining us here this evening at your liberal resistance headquarters. Boy, do we have a show for you tonight. I think it should be fun, entertaining, and informative. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Got a great show coming up. A couple of quick programming notes. We will not be with you next Sunday, because next Sunday night there's a Chiefs game. So we will be preempted next Sunday evening. So enjoy the Chiefs game next Sunday, but we will be back ripping and raring and ready to go next Sunday. Also want to give you a heads up. There's a really cool event coming up for you on Friday, December 12th. Our very own Steve McIntosh is retiring. I'm sure you've heard that that Mac is retiring, and we're having a retirement party for Steve McIntosh. There's more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But that's coming up on Friday, December 12th at 5 o'clock at the Courtyard by Marriott at Old Town. We'd love to have you join us. I'll be there. Ted will be there. A bunch of folks from the radio community, from the Wichita community will be there. We'd love to have you. Phil, of course, our producer, will be there. But come stop by. See us. That's coming up Friday, December 12th at 5 o'clock. And come and wish Steve McIntosh thank him for 55 years. I've been on, this is now, we're past it. We've passed my 7-year anniversary, going on 8, And if I make it 55 years, well, he started earlier than I. I will not make it 55 years, barring, you know, I'd be in some kind of a, you know, mechanical lung or something. But, yeah, Max, amazing. Max, wonderful.
That's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. He's an institution.
15 years here for me.
Wow.
55. That's just it. And to think of all the things that he's seen, that he's done.
Yeah. That's incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah.
But that's coming up on the 12th. So, looking forward to celebrating his retirement and, more news to come. Keep an eye on the John Whitmer Show and my personal Facebook page. We'll have some more information to come on, but on the 12th.
You're such a tease.
I am a tease. Tonight, great show, though. Political consultant and our friend Ben Davis from Wichita Forward will tell us about their $850 million sales tax plan that would fund public safety, some property tax relief, the renovation of Century 2, some other projects. He'll be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. I have blocked I'll block as much time as we need. So he'll be here in studio, and if we take, we'll take calls, and Ben will be here. Well, he'll be here at 8, and we'll go as long as we need to. So Ben will be here, and that's coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. My friend Bill Sutton, he's Kansas House Rep. Bill Sutton, wrote an op-ed, a rather interesting op-ed, where he says that there's nothing conservative or pro-life about Kansas's death penalty. He's a growing part of a growing group of conservatives who are opposed to the death penalty. He'll be with us here coming up in a few minutes. And Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will expose how the director of student health services at our very own Wichita State University admitted recently that the university is hiding transgender services on their website, but is still providing them, and by so doing, defying state law. So they're literally defying the law, defying executive orders, and hiding it from you, the taxpayers. And Brittany Jones will be with us here coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. So we've had a great week. It's a beautiful, uniquely American combo platter of gratitude, gluttony, and glorious capitalism. No other country does it like this. Only in America do we take one day to reflect on our blessings, and then the very next morning we put those blessings on a credit card at 40% off. I mean, that's literally America. You know, Black Friday, that sacred American tradition where we show our gratitude for yesterday's blessings by tackling strangers for a flat-screen TV at 5 a.m. And you know what? I love it. I absolutely love it, because nothing says virtues of capitalism like millions of free people voluntarily stampeding into stores to trade their hard-earned dollars for stuff they actually want but don't really need. And before the critics pearl clutch and grasp, you know, oh, how materialistic, and before AOC and Bernie Sanders, you know, proclaim that we need socialism, let me stop and say it's not materialism. It's freedom. It's choice. It's the free market in action. Nobody forced you out of bed at 4:30 in the morning to go wrestle for an air fryer. You chose that violence. I didn't. I stayed home and pet the dogs, but that's the decision. That's the American way. And in socialism, keep in mind, Black Friday looks a little different. It's one long government-approved line, one sad television in the window with a friendly comma star telling you to come back in 6 months and maybe the product will be in if the government puts you on the list. And, of course, the TV will be 12 inches in black and white and tuned permanently to a government press conference. But here in good old USA, choice is king. Competition lowers prices, innovation fills the shelves, and if you want three air fryers, nobody stops you, except maybe your spouse. And it's incredible when you really think about it. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, a holiday all about gratitude. Gratitude for family, for faith, for freedom, and for a country that still puts opportunity within reach. A country where the grocery stores are full, the roads are busy, airports are packed, and couches across America are under real pressure this time of year. And of course, next year, somebody in the media will still find a way to spin that as an economic crisis because there's an election next year and they've got to find some reason to blame Trump. But, you know, this is capitalism and this is the beauty of our system, despite what Democrats want you to think. But Thanksgiving, in all seriousness, is a reminder of what really matters. It's the one day a year where families put the phones down, gather around a table, and pretend like they actually like each other. Where Uncle Bob finally stops talking politics long enough to pass the mashed potatoes. Where Grandma insists on making some family recipe that nobody actually eats, but everybody pretends to love. That's America. And then, like clockwork, as soon as the trip to fan wears off, we lace up our sneakers and grab our coffee and head to the couch. Or, in this case, on Friday, we head to the chaos. And I don't want to hear any excuses from the anti-capitalist crowd who secretly love it, too. Because they're the same people posting down with capitalism from a phone, built in China, by the way, but they bought on sale, shipped overnight, thanks to the free market. You see, no other system on earth creates abundance like this. No other system lets you vote with your dollars, change your mind, compare prices, support local businesses in 1 minute, and big retailers the next. No central planner told those shelves to be stocked, millions of individuals taking risks, opening stores, hiring workers, competing for your business. That's not greed. That's the engine of capitalism. That's prosperity. And yes, it's chaotic and loud and a little ridiculous, but you know what else it is? It's beautiful. Because every single receipt, every single checkout line, every single shopping cart filled with someone's freedom of choice represents work and effort and innovation and ambition, and it represents the American ideal. So let's not forget the unsung heroes of Black Friday, the retail workers, the cashiers, the stockers, the security guards, the baristas keeping the coffee flowing. This is the American workforce in action. And yeah, we've got our problems, we've got our divisions, we've got politicians who couldn't organize a grocery list with both hands and a GPS, but when Americans are left alone to live, to work, to build, to invent, to create, nobody does it better. You want proof? Look around your Thanksgiving table. Look at the gifts under your tree. Look at the full shelves in every store. Look at the millions of Americans who are still chasing that dream. Starting a business, buying a home, raising kids, giving to charity, and thanking God for another year in the greatest country on earth. So enjoy the leftovers, enjoy Sunday night football, enjoy the show, enjoy the deals, enjoy the family, and celebrate the big, beautiful madness of the American free market. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Black Friday, and, you know, maybe do some shopping here on Cyber Monday. We'll take a quick break, and then Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will expose us to the fact that Director of Student Health Services at WSU has admitted that they're hiding transgender services on their website, but still providing them. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget our friends at Americans for Prosperity. If you're looking for a way to get involved, I had a great opportunity to sit down with folks at AFP and talk about, boy, they are ramping up. After the first year, they are going to be back at it, out door knocking, trying to educate voters about next year's constitutional amendment on judicial selection. If you want to help, if you want more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up and get involved. Get activated and make your voice heard. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us now is Brittany Jones. She's from Kansas Family Voice, and she helped me find this story about how the director of student health services at, of all places, Wichita State University, admitted recently that the university is hiding transgender services on their website, but is still providing them.
But the other ones that we want to point out is things that you might not see on our website anymore for obvious reasons. Our LGBTQ services, we still do them. We still have them available for our students. We do PrEP and PEP for HIV prevention. We do DoxyPEP for STI prevention. And we do gender-affirming hormones for students who are ages 19 years and older. And we've been doing these for 5 years. So we just want to make sure that everybody understands those are still available. And if you have students interested in those services, they're not going to see it on the website, but now you all know, so you can just tell your constituents and make sure that they understand that those are available.
Now, the reason they're hiding them is because there's a federal executive order that the president issued and a state law that passed both chambers, was vetoed, of course, by the governor, and overridden. So there is state law that says they can't do it. If they do so, the federal government will pull their federal funding, but they're hiding it. They're just, as you heard, they're still providing the care. They're just hiding it. With us now to kind of explain why they're hiding it, again, is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. Brittany, did I kind of summarize that right? They're basically just trying to say we want to basically not get our federal money and our state tax dollars taken from us.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Of course.
But yes, I don't know if there's much more to say about it. It is such a clear, just flagrant violation of not only the state law, but also this federal executive order. And there's dollars tied to both of these things. If the legislature wants to enforce it, they can look into it and consider removing funds from WSU, and I don't think that's what they want. All for promoting this agenda that most Kansans don't agree with.
No, and this is
it's just kind of crazy.
This is an 80-20 issue. It's just it's a radical policy, which is obviously why they pulled it from the website, because they know they pulled it because they didn't want to get caught. And the president has made it very clear how he feels. He's already done this at a few other cases. So now they've been caught, and they're clearly putting their federal funds and state funds at risk, not to mention the fact that they're putting kids at risk here. I mean, at least they're not calling it gender-affirming care, which is a complete misnomer. but why? So, and this, by the way, this video is from a Zoom call or something like that. So they got, you know, she just blatantly, this student health services director just blatantly admits it. She's not hiding it in the slightest, is she?
No, not at all. She's saying it right out in the open. She's clearly referring to state laws and potentially the federal law, the federal executive order, which has the effect of law to some extent. And she clearly knows that what she's doing and what they're doing, providing what's called gender-affirming care. I don't believe it's care in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I believe it's harm. But they clearly know that providing this to students is in violation of the state law. It is a misuse of taxpayer dollars. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Whether or not you agree, it's an 80-20 issue, you're exactly right. But whether or not anyone listening agrees with what they're doing, the people of Kansas have spoken through their state legislators. They don't want their tax dollars going to pay for this stuff.
Right.
And the Wichita State needs to comply.
You know, I would say if there are alumni, and I know there are WSU alumni and donors who listen to this show, you need to call WSU and tell them, you know, ask them what the heck's going on here. And we're talking with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. My first question, Brittany, is have we had any response from WSU on this? Have there been any press releases or anything at all? Or are they trying to hide this still?
And as far as I've seen, I have seen no press. I've seen no comment from WSU. I would be happy to be corrected on that point if they have said something, but I've seen nothing. I think they were really hoping that this would get buried with the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, I'm sure. And keep in mind, this Libs of TikTok, which is a Twitter account, an X account, she's got 4.5 million followers. So I guarantee you it's been out there. The press has seen it.
Oh, it's all over Facebook,
right,
too. People have definitely seen it.
Yeah, they're just trying to hide it. They don't want it out there. What if anything can be done about this other than public outcry? I mean, what can be done about this?
And obviously, public outcry is very important, and of course, do it respectfully, all of those things.
Yes.
But that's number one. But the state legislature could have a role in this, and they did pass a law, I think it was SB 195. I shouldn't say numbers because I'm probably going to get them wrong, but I think it was SB 195 last year, passed through the education committees, the higher ed committee in the House, and then the Senate Education Committee, as you said, went to Governor Kelly, got vetoed. But it did tie state funding directly to, you know, removing these sorts of programs. Now, legitimate health things that, you know, students might need, absolutely, those are allowed. But whenever you're promoting, you know, this radical transgender ideology, as this director seems to be doing, then that is not allowed under state law. And it will be up to the legislature, the attorney general, and others to hold them accountable.
Well, and this is so egregious, and it's so... The level of arrogance here, I think, is what got me. Was it? They're just it's so flippant. It's all. I mean, I could almost see her. You can't see her in the video that's posted on X, but you can almost see her smiling. You know, you can imagine that she's
the
just sort of saying
the word obviously.
Yes,
like the,
yes.
That. I'm just like, really, really. Come on.
Exactly. You can almost see her kind of saying na 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 na. I mean, you know what I mean? That's the image that is evocative in this. It's like she's saying, "Well, we've taken it down, but we're doing it anyway, and they can't catch us."
Right.
Well, and that's why it's so annoying, and that's why I really want listeners to reach out to WSU, to reach out to their state reps, and make sure that they're following up on this and doing something about it.
Absolutely, because something does need to be done. Like, we worked very hard to ensure that this law actually went into effect, and it is a complete misuse of funds.
Right.
So it is just, in so many ways, there's just an arrogance to it that we are going to try to circumvent things. And this is what I tell people all the time. Like, this is why we have to stay vigilant. We can't assume we've won things. We have to stay on top of it. We have to make sure laws are being enforced, because we know this happens all the time. The state legislature passes laws, school districts,
universities ignore them
all the time. And that's why enforcement mechanisms need to be put into every law. This is, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox. If we start talking about enforcement mechanisms, I'm going to get a little nerdy. But they're so important to make sure that we hold people accountable, to make sure that the duly enacted laws of the state are actually enforced.
Well, and we can't expect the press to do it, because this isn't topics that they care about. So that's why organizations like yours are so important. Because you have to do what the media won't. And so if folks are interested, you know, if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, because, you know, organizations like yours rely on the donations, the kindness of others at this time of year, they can get more information. They can reach out. They can help. They can make a donation. It's KansasFamilyVoice.com, correct?
That's correct. And you can follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook. But we would love for people to subscribe to our weekly email to get engaged with, you know, what we're really doing to serve the people of Kansas, to ensure there are strong families throughout the state of Kansas, and to make sure that our government officials are speaking with truth and they're acting in a way that's consistent with the family values of the state of Kansas.
Brittany, hold them on. Keep them honest. Make sure, you know, let me know if you get a response from WSU. I want to know if they do respond.
Will do.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, John.
I appreciate
you.
Coming up, Kansas House Rep Bill Sutton will explain why he says there's nothing conservative or pro-life about Kansas's death penalty. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Gotta love Bing. You gotta love Bing. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you can download the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. It's a great way to also listen to this show and every other show on KNSS. So this year, three Republicans and three Democrats sponsored a bill that would end capital punishment in Kansas. Republicans across the country are doing the same, from Indiana to Idaho and Pennsylvania to Kentucky. One of those Kansas Republicans is Representative Bill Sutton. He sponsored the bill because he says there's nothing conservative or pro-life about Kansas's death penalty. He joins us now. Bill, nice to have you on the show. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Good evening, John, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
So this is, and for those of you who know, Bill and I served together in the legislature. He is one of the conservative members of the caucus. He's very pro-life, so I want to get that out of the way for those who don't know you. You're not like, you know, one of those radical progressives or anything. So
I hide behind the conservative mantra.
Yes, you know. No, you wear it proudly. Trust me, you wear it proudly. I know what your score is, and trust me, you're up there with the rest of us right wing radicals. But this is a different take for you, because there are a lot of conservatives, and I've never really staked a position on the issue. I think probably because I've gone back and forth. It's, you know, the pro-life side of me goes one way. But then the, you know, pro-law enforcement side of me goes the other way. So make your case. Why do you say that it's not conservative and it's not pro-life?
All right. First off, let me go ahead and say that as far as being pro-law enforcement, absolutely, I'm on the same page with you 100%. I don't believe that this is an issue that even crosses into that arena. And also, just to get it out of the way, yeah, calling the death penalty pro-life is kind of silly. I mean, it just goes, in order to get to a politician or a legislator saying that they're pro-life and still supporting the death penalty, they have to hyphenate their beliefs in order to say that. So they say, well, I'm pro-life, but actually I'm pro-innocent life. And that always strikes me as just a dangerous road philosophically for someone to go down. When you start hyphenating your principles, in this particular case, you're actually saying, I'm not exactly pro-life. I'm pro-innocent enough for me life. So I get to make the judgment call as to whether I'm pro-life in this case or not, because you might not be innocent enough by my standards.
There is something to be said there. I mean, if you're pro-life, then, you know, much like the pro-lifers who say that the situation of conception or it shouldn't be a factor. Well, in this case, you could say, you know, the criminal is a criminal, but he still has life. And if life is inherently valuable, the fact that he's a criminal doesn't change his inherent value in his life.
Oh, exactly. We can be pro cute and cuddly life all we want to. That's easy. You know, it's when life gets old, you know, are we still supporting that? When it gets sick, are we supporting that too? Yeah, I think most of us are. But then we get to the next question is, what if we get to a life that's done some just really horrendous things? Or are we still pro-life, or do we make up some qualifier that we get to attach to that?
So you don't then choose to engage on the arguments where people say the punishment should fit the crime, the eye for the eye side of it, or the death penalty deters crime. You don't really go there. You're for you, it's strictly a matter of life.
Yeah. I really don't go into those. I mean, obviously, I've been confronted with some of that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I wonder if you could show me that, you know, in states where we actually kill people versus states where we don't, who's more safe? I don't see any consistent records there. I mean, if you're going to prove the case, prove the case. I'm not seeing the stats to back it up. If that's really what you want to write this check on, but no, that's not really where my argument goes at all. It's, are we pro-life or are we not? But there are some other aspects to it that make me wonder why conservatives ever jumped on this train to begin with.
My guess is, and I've talked to by the way, there are a number of people who I know who share your position and who base it strictly on the life argument. We're talking with State Representative Bill Sutton, by the way, and who stake this exact same position, who don't engage on the rule of law issue, who don't really engage on the individual responsibility. You know, you commit basically the old argument that says don't do the time if you can't do the – or don't do the crime if you can't do the time. But who merely make it the point that it's a matter of life and life has intrinsic value, and that's where I end it. And you know, I get that argument. I know – I've talked to – and you, as you know, when I was in the legislature, I served on – corrections and juvenile justice, and I've talked to a lot of the law enforcement guys who firmly believe that this is a deterrent. But again, if you're making the life case, that's not a factor.
Right, absolutely. And one of the arguments that I've run. Do we have how much time do we have here? Because this could be a really cool avenue to go down, but it takes a little.
You've got a couple minutes. You're fine.
Okay. All right. One of the big arguments that I've heard in defense of the capital punishment has to do with plea bargains, and I get that you can save a lot of time, save a lot of money, you know, if you're
having it there as a negotiating tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard that one
leverage.
Too.
You know, yeah, I've heard that, but one of the arguments for that was that, you know, after they're removed from time-wise from the crime and they're better able to make a decision that will impact them for the rest of their life, that's a much better time to assess a plea deal after it's, you know, separated from the passion of the incident itself when the crime was committed. And it makes me wonder, I was like, well, if being dispassionate is a bonus and a necessary item for a plea bargain, how is it that the penalty itself can then be viewed as a deterrent when it's certainly within that moment of passion, that high emotional context that we're making the decision to kill someone in the first place?
Right. Yeah, and that is you're also trying to pray, for lack of a better term, you're preying on the fears of the criminal. So you're actually using emotion to motivate him in that regard as well. So
oh exactly, and we don't have to. And I'm not, again, I'm fully on board with law enforcement on this. They will operate under the rules that we give them.
Right.
but, and I have no problem with that at all. But if the rules allow you to say, we have evidence, or we have an informant, we have your buddy who ratted you out, you'd better take the plea, whether those things are true or not. Wow.
Yeah.
Am I, if I'm not real familiar with the legal system and have a good lawyer, am I going to want to roll those dice?
That's true. This has come up before. I know that repealing the Kansas death penalty came up when I was chair or vice chair of corrections. What are the chances that we see this next session?
Oh, I don't. I've been pushing this thing for about 10 years now, and I don't know. I've been getting some more support from folks, you know, because, you know, when conservatives, you know, we get together and we say things like, we don't trust government to run health care. We don't trust them to, you know, run our educational system. We don't trust them to manage SNAP benefits efficiently. And then I get to pop in with, oh, but we do let them handle life and death decisions. That makes a heck of a lot of sense.
That's true. People, good point.
People kind of look at me and go, yeah, okay, all right. You might have something there.
I think I'm
getting a little bit more support. It's kind of closet support right now.
If folks are interested, if they want to reach out to you, if they want to, you know, help encourage you or want to encourage their rep or senator, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way, let me give you my cell phone. It's on the state website, but I'll give you my cell phone by all means. Area code 913 because I'm a foreigner.
You're the People's Republic of Johnson County.
Exactly. 913-488-1665. Or you can absolutely email me at bill.sutton@house.ks.gov.
Your colleague and our friend and frequent listener, Representative Leo Delperdang, just texted me. The last execution in Kansas, for reference, was 60 years ago. For the Clutter case in Garden City, he says, we don't even have a death penalty here. And technically, he's right. I mean, the Carr brothers.
You're right.
Yeah, it's.
However, we still spend over $5 million for bids, capital defense.
Right. Yeah, it's a very inefficient system here. If we're going to do it, we should do it the way Texas does it, or we should just, you know, do life in prison and leave it at that.
Exactly. We have been buying new execution drugs. It's either every year or every 2 years. I don't recall the committee hearing perfectly, but spending $150,000 either every 1 year or every 2 years on drugs that have never been used in Kansas.
That sounds efficient. That's government.
In 1965, we hung them.
That damn there is government for you, folks. Bill, I appreciate you, brother. Keep up the good work and enjoy redistricting in January, my friend.
Oh, Lord, thank you so much, John.
You have fun with that.
I'm so excited for that.
I'm sure you have fun. I may be up there a little bit once a month or so to spend some time with you, too. So
By all means, swing by, man.
I will, my friend. Thank you much. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. What do you think? You support the death penalty? Should we do Texas style or get rid of it? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They typically do their Days of Action on the third Saturday of the month. I don't know if they're doing one here in December. We had a great time in November. Either way, AFP, they're great folks. It's a great opportunity for you to help really get involved and change the trajectory of our city. It's a great way for you to help make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Get involved. Help educate voters. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Ray, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Yeah, this issue about you know, the death penalty.
Oh, yeah.
And then the issue about right to life. Two separate issues in my mind.
A lot of people feel that way.
Same boat together. There's no relationship between the two. Now, this guy, I forget his name. I like him. He's up there in Johnson County. Is that right?
Yeah. You're talking about the state rep, Bill Sutton. That's who our guest was. Yes, yeah, Bill Sutton.
Well, I can tell he's from Johnson County.
He is one of the conservative ones. He's one of the good guys.
Okay, I know he is, but he needs to take an immunity shot here. the two aren't even... You can't even discuss the two as the same. We're talking about two separate issues. There's no reason to even... it's a clever move, but it doesn't carry any water with me.
I've always been sort of on the punishment should fit the crime kind of a side of the issue. I know that law enforcement believes strongly that the death penalty works as a deterrent. And they also believe that it works in the negotiating process with regards to getting someone for plea bargains. It's a very good tool for that. And
just
so
go to San Francisco or New York City and let them. You can steal $900 worth of stuff and not be in trouble.
Yeah.
So as long as there's no consequences, you know, what's the problem?
I do hate the fact that we're not efficient about it. Leo pointed out, if you've got folks that, you know, we're paying for, we haven't executed for 60 years and yet they're still, and the way you have to, the extra services that they receive, the extra treatment that they receive, the extra care that goes into people who are on death row. Look, fish or cut bait. You know, if we're going to do it, let's do it. If we're not, then put them back in Gen Pop, and that may take care of your problem in and of itself.
Even mixing the cost with it doesn't make the two things the same.
Yeah. Well, Ray, I appreciate the call. It's an interesting topic for sure. Hell, by the way, happy Thanksgiving, Ray. This is an interesting one. This is one of those issues that divides Republicans, that divides conservatives, because I know conservatives that fall on both sides of this. I know conservatives that much like Bill, that take that pro-life side, who say, no, it's a pro-life issue, and I oppose the death penalty. And then I know very right-wing, you know, solid conservatives who say, hang them high. So this is a very interesting issue and I think, you know, there's another argument that can be said that, you know, some of the dead victims that some convicts murder don't have the same choices that these criminals have. And that's a major issue. You know, there are a lot of victims' rights advocates out there that probably think that these dirtbags are getting awfully good treatment. And no one is as concerned about the rights of the victims as they are for the perpetrators. And, that may be one of the major issues here, is that maybe we need to, if we're going to err on the side of caution, well, let's err on the side of the victims' rights before we start erring too much on the side of the perpetrator. But, you know, it's definitely a divisive topic one way or the other. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ben Davis from Wichita Forward. He's going to tell us about the $850 million sales tax plan that will fund public safety, property tax relief, and other issues. Be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it that way by making sure that AM radio remains in vehicles by texting AM to 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and Truth Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Wichitans may be asked to vote on a 1 cent, depends on how you phrase this, we're going to get into that, but on a sales tax on a March special election ballot to fund an $850 million proposal. Wichita Forward, a nonprofit coalition, called on the city council Tuesday to levy the sales tax to fund public safety, property tax relief, and revitalizing Century 2 and the surrounding area, among other things. With us now is Ben Davis, who is working with Wichita Forward on the project. Ben, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. And by the way, kudos and brave to you for braving this in shorts this evening. I give you points for that.
Thanks, John. And not just any shorts, but my Kansas City Chiefs shorts.
I am loyal to the end.
I am not a fair weather fan.
I am
absolutely loyal to my team. Thanks for having me on.
Wearing your Chiefs shorts, so I give you points for that. So Wichita Forward, give me a 30,000-foot view of, and then we'll go into the details, yeah. But what is the basics of this proposal?
Wichita Forward is a broad coalition of business and community leaders around Wichita who have come together to advance projects that they believe are in the best interest of Wichita and ultimately Wichitans. So the high level view is it's a broad coalition of folks from the business and philanthropic and community leadership around Wichita. It's nonpartisan. It takes projects, you know, independently and is advocating for this first project for the 1 cent sales tax.
This, let me ask you this. Why now? What is the urgent need that has prompted this, that we need to do this now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think a couple different things. One is the problems in terms of funding first responders, which I know we're going to get into that here in a minute. The Second Light facility, homelessness continues. I mean, time you've gone downtown or even started to go out east or out west, it seems to be just growing and burgeoning by the week. Those problems are not going away. Obviously, property tax relief, which is another huge one. We hear this all the time. It's something I care very passionately about property tax alleviation. None of these things are going away anytime soon. As far as we can see, the city's budget projections for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years aren't looking any better.
No, from what I've seen, it's anywhere from $3 to $5 to $7 million in a shortfall.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And so, looking at those things and saying, okay, what is there an actual plan to be able to move forward to fund these things without drastically increasing the mill levy rates, without drastically increasing property taxes,
or cutting spending, or
doing both things like that? And no, there's really not a plan. A lot of problems, but really no plan to move forward. So I think that was the main impetus behind this. Look, I think a property tax in some form has been talked about, discussed, proposed for better part of a decade. Some of those plans are certainly better than others. You know, you had the one from 2014 and other things. They've all had various issues, problems, whatever. Right. But I think this has been a little bit in the air for quite some time.
And yeah, Brandon Johnson's solution is just to raise property taxes.
Exactly. That's not what anybody wants. Other than Brandon Johnson. Yeah. Thankfully, he's going off. So nothing but Brandon Johnson. I certainly am not in favor of that. So we've got problems that are not going away. And we need to be able to fund them. And these are, many of these things are core services of government. So making sure that we're dealing with these things. In terms of just the political atmosphere, why, you know, potentially March 3rd, I think it's a matter of making sure that people can actually listen to and judge this plan as cleanly as possible. And what I mean by that is, going into, you know, we're going to have a gubernatorial election. We're going to have a constitutional amendment on what we do with judges in the primary.
Talking about August, right?
In August, exactly. And then in November, the political climate is going to be loud and it's going to be busy. And the fear is that we would throw this in there, along with everything else. I think 259 is going to go back to the well for another bond in November.
In November.
All those things. And so this thing would just get sucked up into all of these other plans and would be used by one side or the other as a political pawn, instead of Wichitans being able to come and actually listen to the arguments, both pro and con, and make their own judgment and vote their own way based on the merits of the plan, rather than how it's being co-opted or being drowned out by all of this other political messaging.
So this is why you want it on the March ballot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We want it to be very fair to the messaging, for everybody to hear it, judge it on the merits of it, and then make the decision.
I gotta push back on that. If for no other reason than this year,
Mm-hmm.
You came on this show
on
more than one occasion. On February 20th, you were on KWCH regarding the USD 259 bond.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, on a couple of occasions, you told Channel 12, you told us, my listeners, that the USD 259 bond vote was bad for Wichita voters because of a lack of transparency. It was unfair. There was going to be lower voter turnout, and that we shouldn't support a March special election because of all those things.
You mean a February special
election? Same thing.
Yeah, February 25th.
An off-cycle special election was bad because of low voter turnout, lack of transparency, and now all of a sudden you're advocating for a special election.
Yeah,
what's changed between the USD 259 bond and this bond?
Well,
or this vote?
Yeah, so first of all, the legislature changed the law to where you can only have a special election in one of 3 days.
So that doesn't matter. What's changed? Because you and I both know.
Yeah.
The only reason people do special elections is because they want lower voter turnout so they can drive their voters out and hope opponents don't show up to vote.
I would say that's definitely not the case with this one.
That is inaccurate. I know full well that one city council member who supports this plan has told people, including me, that they want this on the March ballot because they want low voter turnout.
Well,
Dalton Glasscock has told me and others he wants this on the March ballot because he wants low voter turnout.
I can't speak for Dalton, and Dalton is not a part of Wichita Forward. Dalton,
you said on my show earlier this year, the only reason Wichita's doing this bond vote is because they want lower voter turnout. So my question for you is, why would you be, what has changed for you in less than a, less than a year?
Okay. Here's what I would tell you. The Wichita bond was a horrible plan, and I stand by everything I said
there. I would agree.
It was a horrible plan.
I'm not talking about the plan. I'm talking about the need to do this in March.
Let me finish the question. So there was no doubt in my mind that the Wichita School Board and the Wichita USD 259 was trying to pull one over on people there to try to drive out a lower turn. And they were not anticipating that there would be any opposition.
I agree.
Whatsoever.
So how does that differ from what you guys are doing by cramming this through with no public feedback? No, I mean, you're going to have a couple of town halls between now and when it goes to the city council. Town hall, we don't even know when they are. You're cramming this through. Nobody's seen the detail. The details have got one website with a couple sentences on it. And then boom, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's going. You know what this reminds me of? No offense, but it reminds me of Nancy Pelosi. We got to vote on the bill so we know what's in the bill.
Yeah, that's a false comparison. There's no way those are the two.
Explain how this is any different.
Because in that case, what you were talking about was a massive multi-thousand page Obamacare debacle.
As opposed to this, which is a massive $800, $900, almost a billion dollars in spending.
John, I think you're absolutely diverting away from the main issue here. I agree with in terms of what we said about the bond, in terms of lack of transparency. They had no idea that there would be any type of an opposition.
Do you not think there's going to be opposition to this?
I mean, of course there will be. Of course there will be. Look, whatever Wichita Forward is doing, all Wichita Forward is a group that has proposed and made and encouraged city council with a plan. There is nothing about this that is set in stone. City council, they are the ones who have been elected by the people. They are the ones who will take a vote at the end of the day whether to actually put this on a March 3rd ballot or whether or not to put it on a March 3rd ballot. It's up to them. That is not a decision that Wichita Forward is going to be able to make. So Wichita Forward is going to have some informational meetings, absolutely. But
Have we got the dates for those yet?
Those dates will be released on Tuesday of this coming week. What I would tell you
is the
vote would be December 16th, Tuesday, which would be the last city council meeting, I believe, of this calendar year. And so what I would encourage all of your listeners to do is to, of course, go to one of the informational meetings to learn more about the plan and hopefully, you know, listening here. But
I got a couple quick questions before we go to the break. Okay. So, and again,
but they need to go to city council. They need to go to at city council and talk.
Okay. So let me ask a quick question. Will there be an opportunity to change this plan before it goes on the ballot, or is it set in stone already?
No, of course it could be changed. It could be changed by city council. That's They're the elected representatives.
Right. Let me ask you a question. On the website, by the way, if folks are interested, the if they want to read it for themselves, the website is wichitaforward.org. You can get information there. On the website, it says a 1 cent sales tax referendum, right?
Yep.
Okay. Is it 1% is very different than 1 cent. So is it 1 cent or 1%? Because that's a very different figure. So I want to make sure people understand, because when they think 1 cent, they think, well, 1 penny, that's a little bit different. It's actually a 1%, because 1% is much higher than 1 cent.
So 1% of $1 is 1 cent.
Right, but it is actually 1% increase in sales tax, not a 1 cent.
No, it's a 1 cent sales tax increase. 1 cent. 1 cent.
It's a 1 cent.
1 cent. 1 cent. Here,
it's a 1 cent sales
it's
tax.
It's the proposal that Wichita Forward is putting forward for city council to take up. Again, Wichita Forward is just a coalition of business leaders.
So it's 1 cent.
Encouraging something.
Right.
City council wants to vote
cent.
On it. It's a 1 cent.
Okay. So people need to understand that 1 cent. I get it.
Yes.
So people need to understand when they, but I don't think people understand the math, because 1 cent is actually a 13.3% sales tax increase.
1 cent.
1 cent.
Okay, and I know exactly where you're getting
right.
And I don't know how in the world that formula makes any sense whatsoever.
But, well, because people need to understand what the actual sales tax is, because sales tax is actually more than a dollar. It's not because that's what our sales tax is.
Okay,
so 13.3% sales tax.
Let's explain this. Hold on a second. 6.5%. Percent
right.
Or cents
would then go up to 7.5.
Is mandated by the state.
Right.
Mandated by the state. So currently right now, Wichita has no sales tax that Wichita imposes. Not one. 6.5 cents.
If you add a cent.
6.5 cents is mandated by the state of Kansas, by the legislature.
Okay.
1 cent was a law passed by the counties, by Sedgwick County in what I think is 1985 for 1 cent. Now, Wichita gets a portion of that, but that rest of that money is divvied up
right.
among the other 19 cities.
So if you add 1 cent, how much would that cost?
It's going to take it from 7.5
right.
to 8.5, which puts us at parity with all of the other surrounding cities. Andover, Valley Center, Mays, I believe Goddard and others all are at 8.5. Wichita is at 7.5.
So it's a 13.3% sales tax increase.
Douglas County, by the way, Lawrence is almost 13%.
We don't care about
Douglas County. That same formula. I know who you're talking to an actual
professor
economist.
But we don't care about Douglas.
No. But you should care. You're the one who brought this formula up. And what I'm saying is the math makes absolutely no sense.
But it's accurate math.
It's not accurate math. It's not accurate math. It's not at all. I gave it to an economist who said, I have no idea what this even means.
So let me make it simpler then. How much are you guys estimating that it will cost the average Wichitan?
The study that was put forward that I've seen is a family of four with a combined income of $50,000 would cost them roughly $160 a year.
That's about what I came up with.
Yes.
$160 a year. Okay.
Yes.
Does the 1% increase include groceries?
You mean the 1 cent?
1 cent. Does it include groceries?
It does include groceries.
Okay.
I
want to make sure people understand it includes groceries.
So, now, hold a second. For every $100 that you spend on groceries, I would just ask your listeners to say, so how much does that increase if it's 1 cent? It'd be a dollar.
I don't care.
It would be a dollar.
I'm putting it out there so they know.
And that's mandated. So when the state legislature took away the sales tax for groceries, they mandated that cities could not do that.
So I
would encourage you to call Dan and everybody over in Topeka to have them rescind that tax.
Saying the tax includes groceries. Next. What would the property tax savings be for the average Wichita homeowner?
There is roughly $21 million a year in this plan for property tax offset, which is about 12%. So all of that depends on,
I can give you that figure if you want to know.
The
average Wichita home value is $197,000.
Roughly $200,000.
Right. Okay. So it's $86 in savings.
Okay. $86 in savings.
On
the property tax. Now,
and it's $166 in new sales tax.
Now, hold on a second.
Do the math.
Hold on a second.
So it's twice as much in new sales tax for what I'm getting in property.
Hold on a second. That's with the property tax offset in the plan. The money that it frees up in the CIP.
We'll get to that.
The money that it frees can absolutely be lowered even more, which is exactly what should happen.
We will get to that. By the way, according to the City of Wichita's 2025 budget book rationale for a sales tax increase, this is the city's Wichita rationale for sales tax increase. The average family in Wichita would pay an extra $352 a year with a 1% sales tax increase. That's according to the City of Wichita's budget book rationale for sales tax increase. So the city's own book says it's a $352 a year. So I'm just giving you an idea. We've got to take a break. I went way over. We'll be back. You don't mind sticking around?
No, I'll stick around.
You're a trooper.
Oh, I'll go all day, John.
I know you will. That's why I love you.
With half my brain tied behind my back.
And you will. You will. We'll be back. You listen to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back with Ben Davis. We've got more to come. Be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great anti-tax people, which is a great time for this particular segment. We're going to get right back to it with my friend. We are still friends, I hope. Yes,
we're still friends.
Okay, good. That's what we want. But my friend Ben Davis, I feel sorry for you, Ben. I'm sorry. With Wichita Forward, I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out.
Let me make a couple comments here. Okay, so one of the primary reasons why I have been supportive of this plan is philosophically for me, being on the right, is I hate all taxes, but not all taxes are the same. I would much prefer a consumption tax than I would raising property
me
taxes.
Me too, absolutely.
Or an income tax or something like that. And looking at, like I said before, these problems are not going anywhere. And seeing what the city is going to do in terms of a budget shortfall, and I understand the spending, and I would largely agree with that.
Yeah.
But I also think that at some point in time, what they're going to do is they're going to bond these issues out, and then we're going to pay for the bond through our property taxes. Well, they're going to raise our property taxes.
Or they could just cut spending.
They're not going to cut spending enough to cover all of this stuff in the CIP.
They haven't even tried.
Fine. But I'm not here to argue the spending. I'm here to argue what the alternative is definitely going to be, which is going to be that they are going to raise. So that alleged increase that you did your back of the napkin math on, I would love to see what that increase will be once they inevitably raise property taxes exponentially.
But see, my response to that would be
on every single person.
When they raise those property taxes, the people will be outraged enough, will vote them all out. Let them try it. I mean,
now you're dealing with a hypothetical.
You're asking us to support this, and I'm saying no. And
all I'm asking you to do is I'm here to present the facts of the plan.
Okay.
And then I'm asking your listeners to see, okay, does anybody want a tax? No, of course not. But what I'm asking is, based on what the alternative will be,
but I think
this thing comes into clearer light and broadens out the tax base, because I've seen the most conservative estimate I've seen is 20%. I've seen them go all the way up to close to 35% of people who are going to be paying this 1 cent sales tax, or people who don't even live in Wichita.
I get that.
Wichita right now has over $1 billion in tourism revenue that we're not capturing at all.
I think the flaw there is that there are other alternatives, and that one of them is cutting spending, and they're not even looking at that. And the other part of this is there's a lot of parts to this project, and we're going to get to that, but there are a lot of parts of this project that aren't essential. And why are we doing all of it at once? Why not do piece by piece? If we want to do Performing Arts Center, put the Performing Arts Center, $100 million, 1 year, on the ballot, boom, done, paid for like we did in trust. Then when we do that, let's come back. Okay, Century 2, 2 years, $200 million, on the budget, in, out, done, come back. Do it like that, and you might get. But this is 7 years, $900 million.
Okay, let me.
But hold on, before we get to that, because there's so many things in here.
Yep.
I just want to finish off the tax bit here.
Yep.
Property tax relief portion is less than 15% of the total project.
It's based on the plan, not on the money that it frees up in the CIP.
But it's less than 15% of the total project. The same amount that's being spent on lowering property taxes is being spent on homeless and affordable housing.
Okay.
Do you think that those are equally important issues to Wichita voters? Because I sure as hell don't think that Wichita voters think homelessness and affordable housing are as important issues as property tax.
Okay. So we did a poll. So this was not no.
You and I both know that I can do a poll right now and pay somebody to tell me a poll that would tell me that the sky is green and green eggs and ham is a staple on the food metrics.
No. John,
you did a poll of 500 voters.
John. You've been in politics a long time.
Uh-huh. Long enough to know that polling is bogus.
That's ridiculous, and you know it. John, if you had a legitimate candidate in here for governor or U.S. senator, and you just said, well, have you done any polling? What's the polling? Said that, now, polling's bogus. We're not going to do anything on polling. You would laugh them out of this studio.
You and I also know that polling is not bogus.
I can find you a poll right now that says AOC is the best choice for president. Let me finish. Let me educate your voters on something. I don't think you've done this with them. There are two kinds of polls.
Right.
Two kinds of polls. Polls that are meant to inform mm-hmm. and polls that are meant to influence. An influence poll is a BS poll that you go out and say that John Whitmer is the smartest man alive, and I've got polling to back it up. That's an influence poll. That's the biggest load of BS. That's an influence poll. An informed poll is, I actually want to get a snapshot of reality as far as we can tell it right now to best inform decisions. Any good winning campaign is going to have good informational polling, not influence polling. We went with good informational polling because we wanted to see, look, I don't want to run a losing campaign.
No,
so if I go to Wichita voters and this thing is dead in the water, I'm like, nope, we are not doing this. So I wanted to see certain movers. We as a group wanted to see certain movers. And the top three issues for people: property tax alleviation.
Okay. Did you tell them in the poll? Did you tell them in the poll that less than 15% of the project would go towards property tax relief?
We didn't have a defined number in the polling. We said it would be a portion.
And the reason I asked that question is because, guess what? I got your poll. I've seen your poll.
Okay, you got the text or you got the call or what?
I got screenshots of it.
Okay, screenshots of it.
So I saw your poll.
Okay.
And it was an interesting poll. But one of the things that was elemental in the poll was it didn't tell you how much of each. So what's very interesting is, yeah, it did say what was interesting, and you could see the different metrics in it, but it didn't tell you how much. And I guarantee you, had you told them in the polling what this final project was,
and John,
I highly doubt your results would match what this final project
is. Let's go back to the very first question. The very first question was, what is Wichita Forward and what are you doing? And Wichita Forward is a coalition of people who has taken a bunch of information
from the three guys in your poll, are two radical liberal Democrats who have donated to every Democrat candidate. I mean, keep in mind, these are three radical Democrats who have donated to every Democrat politician.
John, I'm not gonna let you hijack this thing and make it into a partisan thing.
It is partisan.
It's not partisan at all. No, it is not.
Ben, John and I both know.
You are being very disingenuous. You're not telling me
that the three guys that were just named as the spokespeople in the Wichita Eagle article aren't donors to Democrat candidates, haven't been backing Democrats in the last election, didn't give massive checks to Democrat candidates up and down the ballot.
Maybe.
And I know full well that none of them have given donations to the Republican Party or to Republican candidates.
John, that sounds like a problem you have with them. I'm talking about the plan.
Those three guys are donating to Democrats.
Those three guys may have been part of the impetus for the discussion, but this coalition is far broader than them. We have plenty of people who are on the right who have given to Republican candidates and conservative
causes. I'm just saying they're the ones
that
were named.
People who supported President Trump. This is a bipartisan.
This is
another one of the key issues. And see, I think you're trying to drive this wedge here to make the point about the voting. This is another
Why is this going to be on March 3rd?
Give me a name of a conservative. Because we're not going to allow it to
then,
be.
Then point me to a conservative who's backing
me. I am a conservative.
You were hired.
I'm going to tell you.
Are you not employed
I'm going to tell
them?
You. Okay. First of all,
you were hired by them.
Listen.
Give me one who wasn't hired.
Let me answer the question. I decide what projects I work on and what I don't work on. Okay. I knew about this plan before anything was ever said to me about being hired.
Give me one who who's not employed.
Give me one who's not employed.
One of your conservatives who's back in the plan, who's vocally outspoken, who's not employed. Dalton's a conservative.
Okay, Dalton, who's not a part of Wichita Forward. He's on city council.
Okay, but so who's an outspoken conservative.
There will be an official list of Wichita Forward people that is released later this week that will have it on there. Okay. And you will see names of people who are on that list who are absolutely conservatives, who have donated to conservative candidates, who would be backing President Trump, who have backed President Trump. This is not a partisan thing. This is not a partisan thing at
that
all.
I look forward to seeing.
This is not a partisan
thing. And this has been, by the way, kudos for doing this, because the biggest issue that I have with this whole plan is the fact that there's so little information on it. And that's what I think has frustrated so many people. Is it such a huge amount of money with so little information?
And what I'm telling you is, and I appreciate you having me on your show to discuss this, what I'm telling you and what I'm telling your listeners is go obviously you can go to the Wichita Forward website, but more than that, once the information's released on the informational meetings, go to those, go to city council, learn more about the plan. Everybody should learn as much as possible. And I want as many Wichitans as possible to get out and to vote for this thing.
Yeah.
This is to move Wichita forward. And I'm telling you, when faced with the alternative of whether or not we're going to see our property taxes go up exponentially, or whether we can have a 1 cent sales tax, which will be paid by 20 to 30% of people who don't even live here, that will sunset after 7 years. It's not even indefinite. It sunsets after 7 years. This plan, when brought into light, is far better. And I know you've been hit up on your phone with a lot of other people, one of whom was a disastrously failed mayoral candidate who I don't even know. I mean, he ran a pitiful campaign and is a loser as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not.
He has no alternative plan to fix any of these issues.
That's between you and him.
He has no alternative plan to fix any of these issues. And I would challenge him to actually give a better plan to this other than just raise property taxes. I'm pretty sure while he was actually on city council, how many times did they lower the mill levy rate? Not one time.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll go into some of the specifics. Yeah. So we'll be back. You listen to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, you can always listen to us by listening to the Odyssey or iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. Ben Davis with Wichita Forward is still with us. I do appreciate the time that you're giving me. You're a trooper. I will give, this has not been an easy segment or two or three.
Oh, it's been fun.
I appreciate you. So let's talk about the spending. You've got $225 million for public safety,
yep.
$150 million for homelessness and housing, $25 million to revitalize Century 2, $225 million for renewed convention space, $75 million to develop a public-private partnership to build a new performing arts center in downtown Wichita, which will then be matched with $75 million in public or private donations.
Correct.
So that's kind of the gist of the spending.
Correct.
Let's go through some of those, like line by line. Public safety, that's police, and yes. None of that is hiring, right? We're not going to
Nothing with personnel, because I mean, the whole idea is that this thing
that obligates.
So this thing is sunsets after 7 years.
Okay.
So if it is passed on March 3rd, basically it would go into effect, the spending, I think on June or July of 2026, and then it would sunset after 7 years. So in order for it to, something else to happen, you would have to have a whole other vote of the people
that's
and everything
the question.
Else.
So if it expires, then property taxes go back up unless they pass another sales tax.
Unless they pass a sales tax, or you know, the city council gets its stuff figured out and moves the funds around and doing whatever else.
Okay, so we have to trust city council.
But there's no. We're not hiring any personnel that would be a long term commitment or whatever. This is just for these hard projects. So the public safety element of it, roughly, and this is, again, this is just as based a proposal based on the city's existing CIP and budgets, everything else. So these numbers aren't just pulled out of thin air.
This is actually
existing based on the CIP. But again, these are just also recommendations of how this money, city council will be the ones to officially, you know, design what the official plan is, put it on the ballot, what people actually be voting on. This is just, an encouragement of an idea of a plan. So it's roughly $65 million would go to police. We're talking about police stations, police cars, equipment, you know, protective equipment, vests, things like that. And then roughly, I can't remember, 130 some odd million would go to fire for, you know, fire stations, fire trucks, everything else. We've met with both police and fire.
Right.
They are very supportive of this. Obviously, I think a lot of these things are very long overdue for them. A lot of their money seems to get hijacked into other projects. And so they're really wanting this. I mean, we haven't built a new fire station, I believe, since 2009 here in the city of Wichita. I mean, we had firemen telling us that they had trucks that are often breaking down, delaying their response times to calls.
This is a core issue. I'm running out of time. Homelessness and housing. We've got multi-agency center. You've got $5 million in annual city budgets there, including investments in affordable housing.
Yeah. So the affordable housing piece, that's maybe a little bit. So I think what the thought is behind this, there's no one particular plan on the housing. What they're wanting to do is allocate funds to the Second Light and the Second Light board with oversight of the city council to then create create a program. It could be something, it could be a voucher program. It could be other things. Okay. There's no
you
one
do
program
know
designated.
That Denver and some other major liberal cities have done this. And then what happens is every town, city, township within 150 miles gives their homeless people $50 bus tickets and says, go. I mean, what's going to prevent?
Done what? Tell me specifically.
So what's going to prevent Waukini's mayor from giving their homeless people a bus ticket to Wichita and say, go to Wichita. They got an endowment, $150. Go live to Wichita.
First of all, they're already doing that.
What's going to prevent them from doing it more?
But what I'm saying is they're already doing that. A lot of these small towns.
So how does this alleviate
already,
that?
We don't have the resources to take care of any of it.
Now we will.
What prevents this from becoming a big open sign, say, send your homeless to Wichita? No. Look, the homelessness problem in terms of people busing them in here, that is going to require some real courageous political leadership at the city, county, and state level to make sure that we are not a magnet for this.
My question is, how does this not make us a magnet?
I don't see how this necessarily makes us any
because
more of a magnet.
We're a
magnet now. One thing, if there was a material change that makes us being from not to going to be one, we're already a magnet and we don't have the resources to deal with it.
Okay.
And this is a problem. I mean, anybody goes downtown, your life is under
threat. Running out of time. So $25 million to revitalize and renovate Century 2.
Yes.
Keeps the Blue Dome, keeps everything, just revitalizes it, brings
it
up
to speed. Updating tile, walls, things like that. Paint.
Gotcha.
Yes.
$225 million to invest in renovations of a convention space, basically.
This would be like the Bob Brown.
The Bob Brown Arena.
Yes,
we're going to make it modern.
So,
that's the largest single expense.
Visit Wichita and others have done several analyses on basically the amount of money that Wichita is missing out on. And I'll say this because
I've seen some of those studies.
All of the debates back and forth in terms of Century 2. I think
if you build it, they will come. Basically.
Well, this is like this or we tear it down or whatever. And I think this plan is trying to cut through the morass of that stalemate and just say, look, we have Century 2. We want to make the investments while we have it here, and we want a convention space. Like we're not into getting into the political debate of what we do with it. It's like if we have it, let's get it up to speed. Let's get the convention space. We're missing out on a lot of business, and let's get this thing, let's move this thing forward.
Okay. So looking at all of that, there's basically that's $700 million that's current spending or current in the CIP.
Correct.
That would now be replaced with the sales tax money.
Correct.
So now you'd have $700 million that's in their budget.
Correct.
That would now be free money.
Yes.
Okay. What prevents them from now turning around and slush funding that and spending it willy-nilly on whatever they want? Brandon Jow or, you know, Mike Hoheisel wants it for this and Becky Tuttle wants
it for that. That's a great
question. And
that's
what
a great
prevents
question.
Them?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
And I've talked to Dalton. Dalton says that we could use that for more property tax relief. We could use that for more property tax relief.
Just to be clear, you're not talking about the sales tax money. You're
talking about the freed up money
in the budget that's now no longer – that's being taken care of by the sales tax.
Correct.
That's now freed up within there. Yes. That's a great question.
We have to trust that the city council isn't going to spend that. They're going to give us more property tax.
Look, this is – I would say and I would hope that you and I are 100% aligned on this. And I'm speaking now and 100% in my personal capacity here to say that I personally – want my city council representative to take a further portion of that money to continue to bring down the mill levy rate.
Me too.
Absolutely. Now, to make sure that we're buttoning up our fiscal house.
Sure.
That we are making sure that we have police and fire fully staffed and that we have a safe city.
I agree.
To make sure that we're not having major budget shortfalls and to make sure that we have further property tax alleviation in all of this. Absolutely every single one of them should go on. Look, this plan, I reject any partisan nature of this. This plan is a bipartisan. This should be a win for Wichita, for everybody. Does it mean that you're going to like everything in the plan? No. But it should mean that there are going to be key elements of this that you either see as necessary or that you do favor personally and that we can get this thing
done. I'm on a break.
And again, faced with
my
the alternative
here,
of this or raising property taxes, this makes sense all day long. And I think I can even get you to that point, John.
I think if this was revenue neutral, then I would be 100% behind it, i.e. every bit of sales tax goes to property tax reduction. You'd have me at hello. The problem I'm at here is it's literally closer to 82% spending and 17%
tax.
I would tell you and your listeners
to go to city council and to encourage them to balance it out more.
I've tried that. I've got to run. Ben,
thank you,
my friend.
Appreciate it.
You have been a trooper. To the highest degree. If folks are interested, it's WichitaForward.org. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I give him all props for sitting through that. I give him all credit for that. That was not an easy interview, and I went probably a little too hard on him. My wife will be critical of me for doing that. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Carl, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Well, John, it's great to talk to you. As a former county official who tried to eliminate the county's mill levy with a countywide sales tax transfer, we had the proposal put together so that it would have been somewhere between 1 1/4 and 1.5 cents. We could have eliminated close to 30 mills, given Sedgwick County an incredible opportunity to basically have a huge, can you imagine marketing in this area saying, hey, the county just eliminated their property tax.
Hell yeah.
Come to Sedgwick County in particular, Kansas in general. I'm going to give you some literature. Look at the housing prices here compared to where you're at now.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with Ben. I'm all in for the idea of moving from property to consumption taxes. And, you know, when Dalton first explored this idea with me, and I appreciate the call, Carl, it was 50-50 or 60-40. I could probably get behind that. Where I'm really struggling with this is the ratio, 82-18 or wherever it's really at. That's where I'm struggling, is it just seems like it's the juice isn't worth to squeeze for me. We'll see. There's more information to come out. There's more details to come out, but we'll see. No show next Sunday, but the following Sunday we'll bring you some more. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.